History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Steve McKenna, producer for History Makers, filling in for Matt Prater. And today, the special guest is Jo Chapman. She's a media fundraising consultant at chapchat.com.au. G'day, Jo. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. It's so great to be with you and, you know, what a great thing you're doing here.
Yeah, the good stuff. Let's delve into the ancient history, if you like. I'm not saying you're ancient, but let's go into the history. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Panch Hospital in Melbourne. So if you're
Panch.
From Melbourne.
Yes.
Panch. Do you know Panch? It was Preston Northcote Community Hospital.
Yes.
It's no longer there, but I was born in 1970. And to young parents, my parents were 18 and 20 when I was born.
Wow.
So I grew up in Northcote and then we moved to Romsey.
Oh, Romsey. So you lived in my old neck of the woods because I'm originally from Sunbury, just up the road.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go. Small world.
Small world, yeah.
It is indeed. Yep. And so you were born in Panch in the inner northern suburbs of Melbourne. Did you grow up with in a Christian household?
I did. I grew up in a household that was Anglican or Church of England. Mm-hmm. I would call it kind of nominal, habitual sort of faith, where they grew up in a Christian family and they grew up in a Christian family, but not really having had probably a personal experience with Jesus. So when I was in Romsey growing up, we went to the local Anglican church and I remember getting confirmed and we loved the Anglican church and I went to Sunday school there and an after school program. And then later on, we moved back to Melbourne when I was in high school and I grew up in Warrandyte.
Right.
And my mum went to a revival meeting and had an absolute encounter with God and introduced that to the family in that being more active and having a more personal relationship rather than lots of really good habits that we ticked off as a good person. It was about more understanding faith and experiencing it for yourself. And at 18, I had my own encounter with God and had a bit of a life change. And yeah, it was really exciting. But I always grew up believing and talking about Jesus and having great encounters with church.
So when you found Jesus at the age of 18 and made your own decision, was there a noticeable change in your life?
Yeah, there was. I think the biggest thing was I really did love church, love God, but it was external to me. It was something that I read about, I understood and cognitively comprehended to a degree. But when I actually made a decision to say, God, here am I, please show me who you are, come into my heart, change me. He really, really did, because it started to ignite something internal in me. It wasn't anymore with outside of me, it was inside of me. And I just had this burning passion to just understand it. Well, I guess what I can say is it's like being hungry. I was really hungry to understand more of what faith was about.
That is so cool. Now, after you left school, what was your first job? What did you do upon leaving school? Did you go to college?
I've got a story.
Or uni? Yeah.
I went to uni. I always wanted to be a lawyer. My mum would say it's because I love to argue. and I got into Monash Uni here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a family of tradies. All of my siblings, I'm one of five children, and both of my parents are tradies.
Right.
So I was more of a corporate girl and a little bit different. So in my first year of uni, my dad told me to leave university and get a proper job, that there was enough learning. And so I decided to defer and ended up working in the fraud department in the State Bank of Victoria.
Oh, well, there you go. Wow.
That was my first role. That was my first job.
that wasn't exactly picking up the tradie tools. That was catching people who were doing the wrong thing.
I've got no tradie bone in my body, Steve.
So how long were you doing that, working for the banking industry?
I only worked for the bank about 6 months. And to tell you the truth, once I had that encounter with God and I continued in my role, the senior pastor of the church that I was going to asked me, would I like to be the church admin, office reception, and his EA?
Right.
And so being so full of excitement about the things of God, I did leave the banking role and did not return to uni, sadly now, because it would have been a great thing. But ended up getting involved in charity and church and have been involved in that sector forever now.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven. Pray this for you. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Today, the special guest is Jo Chapman. She's a media fundraising consultant at chapchat.com.au. So, Jo, prayer was an important part of your life, obviously, as you were quite close to Christ. And you prayed, you told me earlier on off air, you prayed a specific prayer that had a huge impact in your life. Tell me about that.
Yes, I laugh about this sometimes and sometimes want to cry, but I think it's amazing the things that we pray. So who knows that if you need patience, God's not going to give you patience. He's going to give you things to help you become and learn to be patient.
Yes.
Well, I had that kind of prayer. I was dating my ex-husband at the time, driving between his house in Don Vale, mine in Warrandyte, and I'd learnt about the gifts of God, and I had a really burning passion for great faith. And I used to pray all the time on the way to and from our houses when I was by myself in the car. Lord, make me a woman of great faith, and I don't care what you have to do to get me there.
Careful.
And so I thought, I just want to be a woman of great faith. I don't care what you are going to do to get me there. And they are words of an immature Christian who's passionate, but also of a God. I think he smiles and laughs a little, but I have gone through a lot of things. And when I look back, it's helped produce that faith. So a lot of stories of trial and trauma and triumph as
Yes.
well after those prayers.
You were married at some stage there, you got divorced as well. We won't delve into that too much, but that has obviously had an effect on you, a huge effect on your life as well. A lot of listeners, Christian or non-Christian, have been through that. It happens, it's a fact of life. You want to talk into that?
I think the only thing I'd say, divorce is something sadly common to so many people,
Yeah.
but I think you can't choose what happens to you sometimes,
That's
but
right.
you can choose who you're going to be in and through it. And so when my ex-husband left, didn't love me anymore, and he left, he was actually a very key leader in the church that I went to, and so it was I that had to leave the church. And so I
Yeah.
lost a lot of people and a lot of friends at that time. But I remember standing in my home, raising my hands and saying, God, I do not want to be a woman who's bitter, who has got a hardened heart, and who constantly talks about the past relationship. I want to be a woman who speaks the best I can about my husband because he is the father of my children, but also please create within me a soft, malleable heart that isn't stained or tainted by a bitterness of divorce. And so I'm so grateful for God because that is the state of my heart. I'm not without hurt and I'm not without rejection and I'm not without the pain of sharing children that you didn't expect to not see half the time. But God does protect your heart when you ask Him to. And I can choose who I'm going to be in a tough situation. So
Absolutely.
praise God for that.
Praise God. Now, you've been through some challenges in life. You're a mum. You've had an ADHD daughter with addictions. You had a stillborn, full-term stillborn child. That must have had a huge impact on your life as well.
Yeah, so many things. I think what I've learned is to choose faith in the difficulties. Like I'd said with the divorce, when I was married, I've actually had five children. So I've got an eldest daughter. She has ADHD, mental health issues, and addiction. She's 24, a son 23, a son that's nearly 21. Then I had a full-term stillborn son 19 years ago. And it was something really powerful, if I can say this. And to anyone who's listening who's gone through the loss of a child, out of all the things that I've gone through, that loss was the most life-changing to my soul. For someone to have a child that's fully formed and passes away in the womb, it's really life-changing. But there is a miracle story here, if I have a moment to tell you. I was pregnant. It was Easter. Do you know that song, I Know My Redeemer Lives? And the chorus is, Every nation testifies, this life within me cries, I know that my Redeemer lives. And it's a beautiful song, and it had been stuck in my head. I was due to have the baby in July, but he was born in June, and I was still singing that song. And I understand now, like it says in Proverbs, it was a song of deliverance. And I felt the baby hadn't been moving. I was about 8 months pregnant. I felt the baby hadn't been moving. I waited a couple of days, I prayed, and then I made that phone call to, the hospital. I haven't felt the baby move. Baby number four, I'm little, got a giant stomach. They said, just drink a can of soft drink and lie still for 20 minutes and see what happens because the sugar rush will activate the baby. After 20 minutes, there was no reaction. So I went to the hospital, had an ultrasound, and they said, I'm so sorry, Joe, but your baby's passed away. And It was horrible, but I didn't let go at that point, knowing that I had to actually birth. Michael was his name.
Yeah.
So I went through the birth and I went through holding him and family seeing him, letting go. And that night that they told me that he'd passed away, I went home and I decided that I was just singing in the shower that song, I Know My Redeemer Lives. And when I got to the chorus, and the baby's still within me, and when I got to the chorus, every nation testifies, this life within me cries, Mummy, I know that my Redeemer, he lives. And I just burst into praise and sang because God had prepared me. What does a mum do? The hardest thing for the better results, the hard things. That's what parents do. And so the privilege that I had was to carry to birth and to release him into eternity because we'll meet again. But how good is God to give you a song of deliverance and a song of understanding to prepare you? And again, I didn't choose to lose a child, but I can choose who I'm going to be in and through it. And I choose gratitude and I'll see him again. And I have an experience with God that no one can take away. And I have a lot of pain, but God is the healer. And so that was a story that I went through that was absolutely life-changing. But one of the best days of my life, if you can understand, because it's the only day that I had with him.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening?
Today, the special guest is Jo Chapman. She's a media fundraising consultant at chapchat.com.au. Let's just delve into what you're doing now. You're working in media, been in media for quite some time as a fundraising consultant, and you also started up something recently called chapchat.com.au. Let's talk into that.
Well, ChapChat stands for me, Jo Chapman.
Yes.
And the chat is because I love to chat. And
yes.
I love the fact that everybody has stories. Chat is radio and the storytelling of lives. And I have worked for a long time in radio in a bigger city station, and I've noticed so many Christian regional stations have such a passion and heartbeat for their community and also for bringing
yes.
grassroots Christian music and stories to life through their stations.
Absolutely.
But they don't have the resource.
Yeah.
So ChapChat is about bringing expert resources into regional areas at a price point they can afford and being truly collaborative. You know, one regional station might be really, really great at social media, and another regional station might really have every skill in their data development. And so it's about building a bridge of sharing, collaboration, joy, and lifting one another up in a community sector that is somewhat under-resourced. And I'm really passionate about it and really excited about it. My expertise is in major donor and philanthropy fundraising. And so
yeah.
it's all about relationships.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. Well, Jo Chapman, it's been great to chat with you today. And I think you're a history maker.
Oh, stop it. I think I'm just an ordinary person living with an extraordinary God. And it just goes to show you God can use anyone for anything.
Thanks, Jo.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.